98. This is Kelly Elaine Navies. I am sitting in the auditorium of the YMI Cultural Center in Asheville, North Carolina with Mr. Samuel Maurice Camp. How are you today, Mr. Camp?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I'm good. This is our first interview, my first interview with Mr. Camp on the Stevens Lee alumni project that I'm currently working on. But first, let me ask you some questions about your early life. So you were born in Asheville?
That is correct.
In what year?
1935.
What part of Asheville were you born in?
Born on the south side of Asheville.
Okay. On the south side. What did your parents do?
Well, my parents was in a variety of things. We was in the hotel business. We've been in the restaurant business. We've been in the pool room business.
So you mean you owned your own business?
Yes.
Okay. Which hotels? Come tell me a little bit more about
that.
We
didn't have but two at the time, black hotels in Asheville. One was the Savoy, which was right across the street here from the YMI. And the other one was James Keyes Hotel, which was down on Southside, 409 Southside.
And which one did your family own?
James Keyes.
James Keyes. And also, you were talking about other businesses they were involved in?
Yeah, well, my father was runner of this, also of the Savoy Hotel.
He also ran the Savoy?
Mm-hmm.
So you owned James Keyes, and you ran the Savoy?
Yeah, my father did.
Oh, okay. Okay, so who owned the Savoy?
Jackson.
Okay. So in a sense, you ran both hotels?
Yeah, Grady Jackson.
Oh, was he a black man also?
Yes.
So you guys were doing very well, actually.
Well, we weren't exactly poor. We was what you call middle income class.
Okay,
right.
Okay. And what were the other businesses?
A pool room called Slow Boys Pool Room.
Okay.
And then we had a restaurant, which is right down from here. It was called a Holiday Inn restaurant. And then we also own business in Washington, D.C.
Really? What kind of business?
It was a restaurant called Keyes Coffee Sandwich Shop.
So,
right
Keyes.
Around Keyes, huh? That's how James Keyes got his name.
So who was James Keyes?
James was my brother-in-law.
Okay.
Keyes was my aunt. So that's how I got to James Keyes. And Keyes come out of D.C., we own the Keyes Coffee Sandwich Shop on 7th and T, right around the corner from the Howard Theater, which is right down the street from Howard University.
Mm, okay. So your businesses here in Asheville were located where exactly?
On Southside and right here off of Eagle Street.
What they call the block?
Yeah, call the block, right.
Okay. That must have been pretty interesting.
Well, it was.
Yeah, did you help out at all in any of these businesses?
Too small. I was a kid then.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't allow me in the pool room.
Yeah.
Too young. Mm-hmm. And I would go uptown and sit around with my sister in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did, later on in life, I did help out a lot in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. When you were in high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Junior high. I had to help out even when I was in junior high. And then... when I got into high school, I inherited part of the hotel from my aunt's side, from the Keys side.
Oh, okay. So what happened to the hotel?
When they did the redevelopment, they came through and we sold it.
Okay.
That's where the ball field is right now, down on Depot.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Hmm. That's something else. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had one brother under the camp and one sister under the camps. Half-brothers, I had two half-brothers and three half-sisters under the Jacksons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to explain that to me? I'm a little confused.
That's confusing.
You don't have to. I mean.
Well, my father was named Jackson.
Okay.
That's why I told you he ran Savoy Hotel.
Oh, I see.
But my mother was a camp.
So
that's why they are my half-brothers and sisters.
So they were divorced?
Yeah, well, they never was married.
Okay, and your mother remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had half-brothers and sisters.
Right.
I got it. Did your mother work in the hotel business
yeah.
also?
Mm-hmm.
She worked at the James Keys
Hotel. Right, right.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. So which elementary school did you go to?
Let's see. I went to St. Anthony. I went to Livingston Street, and I went to Mountain Street Elementary School here in Asheville.
You went to all three. Mm-hmm. Which years did you go where? And
I started off in St. Anthony in the third grade, and they put me out of St. Anthony. I guess I was a little rough over there.
Oh, really? Yeah. This is the St. Anthony on Walton Street?
Yeah, right across the street from Parrish.
Okay.
And so I went to Livingston Street School for the, finished the third and the fourth grade. And then the fifth and sixth grade, I went to Mountain Street School because I moved across town on the north side then with my sister.
And where did you go after that?
Well, then I went to Ashland Avenue. That was called junior high in the seventh grade. I was supposed to went seventh and eighth grade at Ashland, but it was condemned. So the eighth grade, we moved to Stephen Lee.
So you actually started Stephen Lee in the
eighth grade? In 5 years. I put 5 years over at Stephen Lee in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before I jump to that, I want to ask you, how did you get to and from school when you went to St. Anthony's, Livingston?
Walked.
All three times?
Right.
What was that like?
Well, it's quite funny. We enjoyed walking. I mean, we'd walk miles to school. And even in rain and inclement weather. So I guess that's why we were just good athletes back then, and mm-hmm. strong.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember most? Which of those schools do you remember the most? St. Anthony's, Livingston, or Mountain Street?
I remember all of them.
You remember them all?
Yeah, all of them pretty good.
Okay, so what's a poignant memory from St. Anthony's?
Well, the funny part about St. Anthony was that catechism you had to read and remember. And I hated that with a passion. And so that's why I remember it very well. Livingston Street School, when I went there, the principal was my neighbor, which was Mr. Reynolds. As later on you'll find out that his wife was the one that wrote our alma mater for Stephen Lee. And I remember him very well. And some of my teachers over there. Then I went to Mountain Street, and I had happened to get into what they called, that was Lucy Herring School, which is called now. And Miss Herring, she was also a neighbor of mine. She was the principal there. And I got into one of the sisters. We had one was called Miss Russell, Carrie Russell, and one was called Miss Hall. And I happened to get into both of those sisters' room, and they were some rough teachers. They would spank my little bottom.
Really?
Yeah, I was just a bad rascal. So, let's see. Then I had a teacher named Miss Pearl Jordan House. I think she was my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why was she your favorite?
I don't know. Miss House was kind of a gray-headed lady, and she's well-loved by all the students. But I don't know. Back then, all the teachers took interest in you. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, all the teachers knew your parents. So quite naturally, if you was a devil in school, they would spank you, and then they would call your parents, and you would get another spank. And I happen to be the baby of my family, so I guess that's why I was such a devil of the family. And I was always getting spanked. But anyhow, when I went off to service, and you know, and when you're young and you always say, well, I hate this person, I hate that person, you begin to realize what they were telling you back then in the young age. So when I went off and I came back home, the first thing I did was I went back to school, and I hugged and kissed those old teachers of mine. And if it hadn't been for them, I guess I'd either be dead today or in the chain gang. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they really took interest in me. They wore my bottom out to try to keep me on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciated them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, we all sat down and cried together when
really?
I came home. Yeah.
When you came back.
Yeah, when I came back home.
Which teachers specifically did you
meet? That's what I talk about. Miss House, Miss Russell, and Miss Hall.
From
them
elementary.
Two sisters. Well, one was from junior high. Miss Russell had me in junior high, and Miss Hall had me in elementary, and Miss House had me in elementary.
Isn't that something? You went to see teachers from way back then.
Way back then. That's right.
That's interesting. So, did you, other than getting in trouble, did you enjoy going to school then?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, well, nothing like school. You always enjoy school. But we enjoy summertime because in the summertime, I would leave Asheville and I would go to Washington, D.C. And I would buy all my clothes and everything up in D.C. I had to work up there. Mm-hmm. And then I'd come home, get up on the block, and have a good time here. Mm-hmm. That's when we had what they call, I don't know whether anybody ever mentioned, but the YMI drugstore.
Oh, right.
Was run by Mr. Harris. And he also was a neighbor of mine.
Really? So you were neighbors to all these people, Mr.
Yeah.
Harris, Mr. Reynolds, Lucy Herring.
Right, right.
That was some kind
they
of neighborhood
all,
you
well,
lived in.
That was called back then, that was the most exclusive side of town, the north side. Uh-huh. That's where all your teachers, your lawyers, your doctors all lived on the north side.
Okay, so that's where you all lived.
Right, right. So, then I later on, I came back on south side. Mm-hmm. I moved back down on south side.
Okay. So, you guys lived in an exclusive black neighborhood.
Right.
It wasn't integrated.
No.
And that was on north side.
On the north side.
What streets are those? I want to go take a look at that.
We lived on Crescent Street. C-R-E-S-C-N, mm-hmm. Crescent Street. And we had Broad Street and we had Madison Avenue.
Okay, I know where that is.
You know where it's at? Off of Hillside, one's off of Hillside.
Oh, Madison Avenue. No, that's different.
Madison.
I'm thinking Madison Street. Madison Avenue.
Well, Madison Street is Madison Avenue. They used to call it
over there by Mofford?
No. It's over there off of Charlotte Street.
Okay. I'm going to look for that.
Right now, especially Crescent Street, where most of your well-to-do blacks used to be, all those houses are now torn down, and the cable company bought all that property up and extended from Charlotte Street back over into Crescent Street.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So all that was torn down.
Some of those houses aren't there anymore.
No, you got a few left over there, though.
A few?
Yeah.
So I'm interested in your perspective on segregation, especially since you come from a family of business owners. Mm. What was that like for you growing up?
Well, to me, I always hated segregation, which we was, back in my young days, when we had the hotel, there was a white family lived right back at the hotel, and we always played together. We didn't have any problems back then. The only time I started incurring problems was when I was in high school. And they were not from the kids in Asheville. They were coming from the surrounding areas of Asheville, would come in Asheville and start trouble. And we jumped on the white kids. It was funny. In the South, you always hear about the Ku Klux Klan and these sort of things jumping on the black. But here in Asheville, the black was jumping on the white.
Really?
Yeah. And
in what way? What do you mean? You mean the kids?
Yeah. What happened was we had a young lady named Bonnie, real light-skinned girl, and she was going with a young man over to our high school. And so quite naturally, when the white kids seen her and them together uptown, they called him a racial name. And it got into an argument uptown. So one of the white boys had a gun. And it happened out on Pritchard's Park. So the law officer came and we was about to fight up there. And he formed a circle. And we was telling him that the white kid had a gun. Well, they were passing it behind their backs on the ground. He seen the gun, but he would not get the gun from the white kid. So we said, that's all right. You don't have to do it. We'll take care of it. So we went back over to Stephen Lee. And our poor janitor had brooms and mops and anything we could lay our hands on. And we went down in the trade shop. We drilled holes into the helms. And we made blackjacks out of them.
Now, what's a blackjack?
Well, It's like, what, okay. It's something that the police generally have. But like a nightstick.
Okay.
Well, that's really what it is. And you pull lead down it, and you knock you unconscious. And we went and bought all the tape the poor fella had in the store. And we went back to town, and we went to whipping poor white kids pretty bad up there.
Any of them?
Oh, anything we could lay our hands on, we'd beat them up.
What year? So, you were in high school then?
Yeah. And it got so bad that the police had to come over to our school and beg us to stop fighting. Because, I mean, we were jumping on everybody we see.
Did any of you get hurt?
No, mm-hmm. Not that much. We had one of our friends back there. He got surrounded by a lot of white kids, and they were going to beat him up. And he had an old knife in his pocket. He closed his eyes, and he just swung. He cut about two or three of them.
Really?
So the funny thing came out in the paper that some blacks jumped on some white boys and cut them. Cut three of them.
It
was just one black boy, yeah, living on Hill Street.
That was in the paper?
Yeah, it was in the paper.
What?
Yeah.
Do you know what year this was?
This is back in 1952, I believe.
Okay, let me see if I can find that. Do you remember what time of year, maybe?
No, I sure do.
Okay.
It was either 51, 52, somewhere in there. It was real funny. His name was Tim Young. I don't know whether the paper ever printed his name, whether it was Young or not,
okay.
But that's who the fellow did the cut.
That's who he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was scared to death. He just closed his eyes and went to swing. He said he didn't know where he hit him at.
So did that kind of thing happen often?
Well, things began to quiet and back down. And it was funny that the sports side of it, I think, brought us together. Because we called, back then it was called Lee Edwards. The white high school. And we called their coach, and we wanted to play against them. And they had a coach named Isabel. And Isabel told our coach, which is C.L. Moore, that he would never play us, because he would not want his kids killed out there playing ball with us, because we were a little too rough. But it was funny that the white kids that made All-America played with us. We would play on Saturday. We'd play in, you call sandlot football and stuff. And they could go to our games, and we could go to their games. And we would sit up in the bleachers and watch our old buddies that used to play against us in sandlot. And some of them made the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. And some of them was really good. But that was because they played against us. And then basketball was the same thing. We would play them in basketball.
Really?
And we would go down, we would play them on Saturday, either at the Steely Gym or we'd play them at Lee Edwards Gym. We'd been down to Lee Edwards and played them.
Really?
But nobody knew about it.
None of the adults knew about it?
No.
And what if they had known about it?
Well, I guess it would be just like anything. It's probably been a kind of race ride going on, you know.
Really?
But the kids got along. It was the adults that we would have to, and the surrounding areas of whites we had to keep out. But the in-city black and white always got along. Believe it or not, right on this street here, Eagle Street, was the worst street and the baddest street for the black people. And yet there was a white guy, just a half a block down the street, used to go to white black girl and come over here.
Wait, I'm confused. You said Eagle Street was the worst street?
The worst street, the roughest street we had, right here.
In terms of?
Just people fighting.
Oh, black people fighting each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but yet, he would come over here, and we knew he was coming over, we wouldn't bother.
Oh, to pick up his girlfriend.
Yeah, pick up his little girlfriend, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, he's one of our guys that always played with us all the time.
Really?
Yeah. So back, you know, I look at segregation. Well, some people say it was great, and I think it was great to a certain extent. But I to this day, I still think it really tore up the black community.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Okay, in what way do you think it tore up the black community?
Well, we had more self-esteem and more pride about us when we was coming up than kids today. As I said before, our teachers were interested in what we did. Not only were they interested, they would make sure that you got your work. I mean, they didn't let you sit in the back of the classroom, and they didn't put no dunce cap on you. If you didn't get your work, you would go to the principal's office, and then they would call your parents, and your parents would come to school, and 9 times out of 10, you would get a whipping there in school by your parents.
So that was what was good about segregation.
Right, right. You respected everybody.
Right.
I mean, you just didn't only respect your parents. Everybody could whip you back at duty. I mean, and you would beg them not to call your parents. You know. So, I mean, you would taught self-respect. But once you start integrating, and I've always said this, people read psychiatrists or psychologists' books, and they tell you 85% of them are need to be instituted. Came out with the theory that where you talk, you reason with a kid, you do all these things with a child. But I heard one on TV, and it's quite interesting. Somebody asked a question, well, what if they still don't do it? Well, you try to reason with them, but they never could answer the question, what would you do if the child still disobeyed? Well, we know what would happen if it's a black kid. You're going to listen. I mean, and you're going to obey. There's no doubt about that. But the whites, and I think that's what's wrong with society today. They changed the laws. Now that's what you call child abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to raise your kid. They said, well, first of all, you don't want a child to fear you. Well, now, I look at it, what is fear? Yeah. The child fear you because he fears he's going to get a butt whipping. That's what the fear is. If you and that mother and father will love that child, will do anything for that child. Parents was going without to make sure the kids had.
Right.
That was not a hate. That was out of love. So that's not fear. But they call that fear, put fear in kids. And I think that's what kids need today is a little more fear. You wouldn't have this gangs and this shooting as you do. You know what? Out of all of my 5 years in high school, from the 8th grade through the 12th, one kid got killed. One. And the reason why that kid got killed was down the foot of Livingston Street. They were fighting, and the boy, they was trying to get away from the other strong guy, stabbed him to get away. And when he stabbed him, he hit him right in the bottom of the heart, and he ran. And, he bled to death. And that's the only time we ever known a kid to get cut or stabbed or killed back then. Now, it used to be like an everyday thing. You know, you read up where some poor child got killed. Or kids now going to school with guns. We didn't have that sort of foolishness.
And you think because of the segregated environment, there was more control of kids.
Teachers have moral control over you. I never forget, we had a theater right up the street here called the Plaza Theater. And we were seniors. And I guess about 8 of the guys cut school, evening class, to go to see this movie. And some of the teachers was questioning us, where were the kids? Where were these boys? And finally, one of them said, well, they're at Plaza Theater. Those teachers, two of them went downstairs and got some boards. And they went up to the Plaza Theater. And believe it or not, they busted their tails as they came out of that school. Now, these are high school kids. And I tell you what, didn't nobody else cut no class to go to sleep? I mean, it's funny now the way you look at things. But you really appreciate, you love those teachers for what they did to you. You know? Yeah. But now that's abuse today.
So where was the Plaza Theater located?
Right up the street here.
Was this a black theater?
No. Well, it's both. Mm-hmm. The upstairs balcony was for blacks. Downstairs for white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are, you talked about some of the things that you felt were positive about segregation. What did you hate about it?
Well, I hated because what they'd done was we had all brand new schools, and they felt like their kids was too good to come in a black neighborhood. So our kids had to be bused when we had brand new schools, and we had qualified teachers. We had the best. Our teachers were better educated than any white teacher was, and we lost all of that.
Well, as a result, you're talking about as a result of integration.
Integration,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
So quite naturally, the quality of education went down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for some strange reason, as I said, the kids seemed to integrate themselves and got along better than today. You know, I look at a lot of children, which I work with kids now, but I look at kids right today. We have a basketball program for children. The black kids will sit up in the bleachers and will not play with white kids today. Whereas we would play with them back then.
That's interesting, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has ever went away. Next thing is that from what I can gather, and the teachers don't have that enthusiasm of teaching like the old teachers did. I mean, like taking the time for you, you know, that quality time. Even though, see, our parents, a lot of parents back then, didn't have an education. So really, the teachers had to take that time. Whereas today, it's a little different. Most all parents are kind of halfway educated, you know, and can read and write. I mean, the majority, I'd say 90% of them now can read and write. Whereas back
they
then...
They can read and write, yeah.
Yeah, but back then, we had parents that didn't even know their name. You know, they were still making X's for the name. So that's a little different.
That is. I see what you're saying.
So, but integration, I think, hurts in that respect. The next thing it hurt us is that back then we were forced to do business with each other. So quite naturally, you had your own black business, all sorts of, from funeral homes down to shoe shops, down to jewelry stores, you name it. Doctors, dentists, lawyers, anything you think of, the blacks was in business. Now that you cannot find blacks with those trades no more, because it's not handed down. Next thing, the blacks can't get loans.
And of course, you felt sort of personally affected because your family was involved in
business. Oh, yeah. Well, when they bought our business, they asked me, did I want to go into business again? I told them no, because what they were selling me was some old dilapidated motel of a white person. I didn't want that, you know. And rather than to do that, I just decided to stay out of business, and I went to work for the government.
Do you regret making that decision?
No. Smartest decision I ever made. Never regret that.
So when you all sold the business because they were renovating Eagle Street? Is that what you
said? What they were doing under redevelopment.
Okay.
They came through all over the United States, not only Asheville. All over the United States, they went directly down to black neighborhoods and condemned them and tried to... Well, history will prevail you out on this here, that more blacks back then owned homes than whites. Even though they were shacks, the blacks owned them. It's just like now. They try to go through the black neighborhoods, take up all the black neighborhoods, try to buy them out, you know, and put the blacks in projects.
So you didn't really have a choice whether to sell the business or not?
No.
Okay.
You know, they come through with condemnation, and then you had to take your business in.
Did you get a fair price?
Well, I had to go to court and fight them like a son of a gun to get a halfway decent price out of them.
Okay. So let's move back to your Stevens Lee years. You entered in eighth grade, and you played practically every sport, right?
Just about played football, basketball. I didn't play baseball.
Oh, okay. So did you start sports in eighth grade?
Well, sports, now you got to understand back then, all kids was good in sports back then. Because we did a lot of running and we did a lot of walking. There was no obese kids back then. That was rare. On the counter bed. So we did a lot of exercising. So, but we really couldn't play until later on. I played in the band. And I started playing the band in about the ninth grade.
So.
And then I started playing sports on the varsity team in the 10th grade.
Oh, okay. And then you played through senior year.
Right.
So you were in the marching band? What instrument did you play?
Drums.
So you did a lot. You played football, basketball, and you played in the famous Stevens Lee marching band.
And the famous? I tell you what, the year I was in school, we went over to Knoxville, Tennessee. Their school was called Austin High. And for a homecoming game. I got hurt that year. I mean, that previous Friday down in Greenwood, South Carolina. I got my ankle messed up. So the coach gave me an ultimatum. I could either go with the football team or I could go with the band. So I chose the band because my girlfriend was on the band. I didn't want to get on the bus with no roughneck old rascal, so I got on the band bus. And I went over there, and I could walk on my ankle, but I couldn't run. So I went and helped them march down in the black neighborhood over there for this homecoming, which was about, I guess about 3 or 4 blocks. It wasn't long. Well, we came back home, and we got a letter, our music director, which is Mr. Leonard, and the Chamber of Commerce, somebody from the Chamber of Commerce had seen our band, and they wanted us to come back over, and the Chamber of Commerce paid our way. And we were the first black band to march down the main street of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Do you know what year that was?
Let me think. I think it'll either 52 or 53, somewhere in there.
What was that like, marching? What time of year, first of all, did you do this?
Oh, that was during football season. That was right about in October, November.
Somewhere. What was that like for you?
God. Well, you know, like kids, we've always been competitive. And it was kind of a slap in Austin's face to have them invite a black band over there to play when they down their street when they couldn't do it.
Who was that?
Austin High School.
That was the white high school?
No, the black high school.
Oh, but they weren't asked to march.
They marched, but we were the cause of them to march down this street.
I see.
And quite nasty, it got to be, you know, bands in competition will try to drown the other band out. And we just drowned them out. They had a larger band than we had, too, by the way.
Really?
But not as good as our band, and we drowned them out. And everywhere we went, people, I don't care what town, people just followed our band down the street.
I've heard that, actually.
Yeah.
So because you guys were invited, they invited them also.
Yeah, I see.
Were you like one, were you behind the other?
Well, they put them in front, put us back at last, because we always, I don't know why. Well, yes, I do. Even here in Asheville, they made the mistake of putting us first one time. And everybody went home before the parade was over. Because people would lean, back then, people would lean out of windows and everything when our band come down the street.
Right.
Because we put on a show. We Doc Leonard would pick up things from like Florida A&M, A&T College, and those steps that marching band had. And he would bring them back to us, and we would do those, imitate them. And we had a terrible band. In fact, my best buddy.
Terrible, you mean in a good?
Good, yeah. My best buddy started playing in Stephen Lee Band in the 6th grade. He's dead now. Named Mike Tate. And I think he was the youngest guy that ever played in this band in the 6th grade. He played sax. So I tell you what, that old band was something back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a picture up now down in my band.
Had you played drums before, or did you learn at Stevens Lee?
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, when we had the hotel, my brother-in-law owned the band. I mean, so I would get back and play the drums on the bandstand.
Okay.
Yeah, so I always could play the drums. And I tried to learn how to play the piano, but back then I thought piano was for sissies, so I would never play the piano. Yeah, I wish I had it. I was stuck with piano lessons.
So you did marching band from 10th through 12th grade?
Oh, No. I started in band in 9th grade.
And all the way through your senior year?
Mm-hmm. Well, on and off. Well, I wasn't playing sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd play with the band.
That sounds like it was pretty exciting.
No, it was.
And you had the majorettes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good looking girl.
Yeah. So tell me about playing sports.
Well, playing basketball and football, I was no outstanding player. I was just an average old guy playing sports. But after I got good in basketball when I went off to service. But in high school, I just say I was about average. I played against guys in high school like, I know you don't know nothing about this, but they called them Medlock Lemons, played with the Harlem Globetrotters.
I think I kind of remember the name. Yeah.
Well, he was from Wilmington.
Yeah.
A fellow named Sam Jones. He played with the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. Well, guys like that went on to be famous. Well, I played against him all in high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, Sam Jones was famous down to North Carolina State.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he went on to when he went pro. Then he went to the Boston Celtics. Hmm. Mm-hmm. He turned out to be one of the great athletes up there.
Oh, so was he there with the time with Cedric? No, folks
said Cornbread. He was back there when Russell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Hayes and all them played.
Okay, I see. So if you were playing football, obviously you couldn't be on the band during the halftime, right? So you had to make a choice. You chose football.
Oh, yeah.
In those situations.
Yeah. When I wasn't hurt, I played football.
Did Stevens Lee have a homecoming parade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And where would you have that at?
We would march down, start up top right here, and we'd march all the way down.
You say here,
yeah,
you mean?
From Eagle Street, from right down through Market, start up here at police headquarters, and come down, and we'd march down through here, down Eagle Street, and go down Valley Street. And the band would march all the way to the stadium, which was Memorial Stadium.
Up the hill there?
Yeah. And they'd go all the way up to Memorial Stadium, and then the game would start. Once the band get in it, and everybody.
Memorial Stadium, that's still there, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay, not a place that was on campus, but the stadium that is
there. Right. Now, that's why, well, you wouldn't know this either. Mm-hmm. There was some, the Parks and Recreation own Memorial Stadium now, and they wanted to sell it. And people got a petition up not to sell it, so it still stands. Mm-hmm. They tore down the one of the side of the bleachers, but the old football field still stands. Mm-hmm. And when the integration came, which was called Lee Evans, now it's Asheville High, they built their own stadium, so now the stadium is at the high school. Mm-hmm. So they quit, nobody uses that stadium no more.
Oh,
but
I
it's
see.
Still there.
Oh, I see. So is it just gonna be there for?
Well, Parks and Recreation now are trying to decide what they're gonna do with it.
I see.
Convert it into a softball field for little leagues or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you graduated in 1954, right?
Right.
What core were you in high school? Were you doing college prep classes or more trade-oriented classes?
Well, I was doing trade.
Which was trade?
Yeah. In fact, I had a teacher named Mr. Hayes.
Mr. Hayes.
Yeah, I guess you've heard tell of him. Mm-hmm. And he's a very good carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And old man Hayes, in fact, when I started building stuff and remodeling stuff, he told me, I never had the slightest idea you paid me any attention in school. He said, but you did turn out to be a pretty good old student after all. You know, I made a lot of things. From the government, and even when I come home renovating.
Oh, in your own house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, renovating even the hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did a lot of renovation to it, too.
Oh, to the hotel that your family owned. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. When did the hotel finally, when did you sell?
It was in 1960 what? If I'm not mistaken, somewhere, it was in the early part of the 60s. I had to look that up.
Okay, in the early 60s. So when you graduated, 1954,
mm-hmm.
That was the year of the Brown versus Board of Education decision to end segregation. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But I do remember that when I went in the service, they were talking about breaking down the barriers in.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in the Air Force, so we didn't have that problem in the Air Force.
You didn't have that problem? Was it already integrated?
Yeah, already integrated, right.
Okay. So when you left to go to the Air Force after graduating, did you have any idea that Stevens Lee would be closed down?
No. To be perfectly honest, I don't think nobody did.
Right.
You know, I mean, that would have been the farthest thing from us to ever think that school would be closed. Well, in fact, I would never think that none of the high school, because with Carver down here in Spartanburg, we was very fond of them, too.
Carver and Spartanburg?
Yeah, it was
another black high school?
Yeah. And we had the same colors, maroon and gray.
Really?
Yeah, they was. I call that our sister school, because we always fought like cats and dogs with them.
While we're on that subject, what I understand, I know Stevens Lee was probably one of the only high schools in black high schools in Western North
right.
Carolina. Where were the others in this area?
Wasn't it? Not any
that
other.
That was it.
It was
the actual only.
Right.
So when you played other black high schools, they were always from the other part of the state.
Right. The closest one I can remember was, we played Charlotte.
West Charlotte.
West and Second Ward. It's West Charlotte and Second Ward. Mm-hmm. We played Union, South Carolina. We played Spartanburg. Now, there were high school down in Ruston County, Springdale.
Okay, that was a black high school?
Yeah. But they were not of the caliber that we were. And also, there was one here in Hendersonville called Ninth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But there too, and Canton had one. But they had what? Student body, senior class of maybe 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. That would be max if they had that many.
What was the name of the one in Canton, you know?
No, off the top of my head, I sure don't. We always call it Canton High School.
So probably Stevens Lee was the only one that had the type of faculty,
right.
Big school, the band, and
right.
That you all had.
Right.
Now,
Canton did have a basketball. I mean, not Canton. Well, Canton did, too, in Hendersonville. Both of them had a basketball team. But our JV's a player.
Not really? Like,
yeah.
Your varsity team wouldn't
play? No, we never play.
Okay.
Only time I remember the varsity team playing them was back where the referees out there were kind of rotten. They were cheap.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, they were cheap. They bet on the game. And they kicked off just about our whole first string in the varsity player. And still they couldn't beat us. And when they came to Asheville, we never would play them. We would let the JVs play them. But when we go over there, we had to put our varsity team on,
mm-hmm.
because they would cheat so bad. Yeah. Oh, it was just comical.
That's pretty
then.
Funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So let me stop the tape for a minute. We're almost at the end of side one. We're going to turn over the tape and continue on side B.